If by some miracle you're listening to this, that could either mean one of two things. Either we made it out, or I'm long gone by now. Whichever it is, my name is Jesse, and this is my story. Not too long after that came the day that I think we were all dreading. The day that we looked long and hard at our food stash and realized that it was dwindling. The occasional fish was great, sure, but they didn't come as often as we needed. And even then, we couldn't only eat fish. We needed other food too. So we didn't have much of a choice, did we? We were going to have to make a run again, and I know I wasn't the only one that wasn't too thrilled about it. But there's no way around it. We need to eat. We don't like to talk in front of Ben about these kinds of things, so we usually put him to sleep first. This way we could talk all the details and our options, careful not to skip any of the less than desirable details that we don't want to scare him with, and make sure all of our bases are covered. So that night, we went through our nightly routine, which was pick out what we were going to eat for dinner, and began to get it ready. That night we had chicken flavored rice, which was intended to only be a family sized side dish, a can of peas that we mixed in, and a small handful of tortilla chips that we all split. We heated up the rice and peas over fire, and made him wait for his chips until he finished everything else. This way they would make him thirsty enough to drink water and hydrate up before bed. The reason we ate right before bed was to preserve all of the calories that we just took in, and they could turn to fat as we slept, rather than burn them all before bed. It's funny how things have changed. It used to be that you avoided eating before bed for that exact reason. But now that food was hard to come by, we needed to make sure we capitalize on every calorie we can get. Next, we switched into our nighttime clothes that we had set aside strictly for sleeping. This way we didn't bring dirt into the van, seeing that doing laundry wasn't exactly an option anymore. The clothes typically consisted of a long sleeve shirt and a warm sweatshirt. Then we wore shorts underneath a pair of sweatpants and a pair of socks to cap it off. The night still got pretty cold, so we had to make sure that we stayed warm enough to not get sick. Then it was off to bed for the kid, and as usual, he was pretty quick to pass out, thanks to the food. Now it was time for Lenny and I to figure out what we would do to avoid what happened last time. We talked for a couple hours to figure out what the best plan of attack was. We decided that it would be best to head in the opposite direction as we did last time in order to hopefully avoid the rednecks at the old man's house. Now, I don't know for certain if they were the ones who killed him, but I wasn't willing to find out. So we were heading west. It was also decided that we would hit a few houses this time as long as the coast remained clear. This way we could stock up and avoid going back out for as long as possible. Other than that, our plan to have Lenny in the driver's seat parked by the nearest cover and ready to drive off at a moment's notice to remain the same. At first dawn, we moved out. We drove westbound, careful to stay off any highways or interstates because we knew that they would just be congested with abandoned cars and likely have scavengers lurking around. We came up to an old gas station that had a small silver diner attached. I slowed down to a crawl, carefully checking every abandoned car that was carelessly parked in the lot for any signs of life, and every diner window that had blinds hanging on by a thread that were broken and tattered, and behind every tree that I could see. It seemed to be a ghost town. "Should we check it out?" I questioned Lenny. "It seems clear to me, but I don't know. Do you think this is too risky?" "Not sure if this is any less risky than anywhere else we were headed," I said. "Might as well check it out. I'm sure it's going to be pretty empty by now, but it's worth a shot." I pulled around the side and into the back lot between the dumpster and two other empty cars. The van was a whole head taller than the other two beat-up machines, but it shouldn't stand out any. "Okay, you know the deal. Hop over here and keep it running, but don't step on the brake. I don't want those taillights sending out an SOS signal. Benny, hop up here in between these two seats next to your mother. Keep an eye out that back window for your mom. Those are tinted real dark so nobody could see in. It's like you're wearing an invisible cloak. You could see them, but they can't see you. How cool is that, huh, bud? I grabbed my backpack and threw it on my back, stuffed my knife on my back belt loop above my butt, and checked my revolver one last time to make sure the bullets didn't somehow disappear on me. I love you guys. I'll be right back. I crouched and shuffled quietly up to the back of the building. The first obvious entry point that I laid my eyes on was a narrow half window that clearly led to the basement level that has already been busted out. I scooted over to it, took a good look into what I could see, and had a good listen for any signs of other scavengers. It seemed as clear as it could be from the outside, so I gave one more look back and locked eyes with Lenny. I gave her a nudge with my head towards the window to slightly say that this is where I'll be going in. She returned it with a very slow and questionable nod as to say, "Okay, I guess, but please be careful." I swung my bag off my shoulder and next to the window and went in feet first. I wiggled on my butt through the window until I was on the edge of the sill, feeling around with my feet for anything that I could transfer my weight on. No luck. I twisted onto my stomach and lowered myself in blind, which I really didn't want to do, grabbing my bag as I went down. I dropped myself down maybe 3 feet or so and anxiously spun around to see what kind of place I just willingly locked myself in. It was dark other than a few beams of light coming from similar windows, which allowed me to get a good picture of the place. There was a lot of empty wire racks that ran the perimeter of the cellar with some miscellaneous cardboard boxes and plastic totes around. I made my way through, scanning for anything that could be useful, but mostly focused on food that may have been left behind. I was forced to navigate around some old dusty tables and chairs to make my way to the shelves, but it just seemed to be mostly cheesy holiday decorations from every holiday imaginable. Until, that was, that I found a few boxes of pasta that must have fell behind the shelves that anybody who was in a rush could have easily missed. I quickly threw those in my backpack and kept it moving. With nothing else here, I found the metal door that led to the stairs, to the main level, and I decided that it was time to leave the cellar and head up. And right next to the door, I found two gas cans, one small one and one 5-gallon can. Without any hesitation, I reached for them and let out a hushed, "Fuck yes," as I felt that they were both full. I grabbed them and took them to the window that I just used to get down here and vaulted them up and out so that they'd be waiting for me when I got back to my family. I didn't know what was upstairs and I didn't want to be lugging around two gas cans in case that there was anything other than a fully weighted staff promoting a soup of the day, which I wasn't really expecting at that point. Once I got both cans outside, I went straight back to the door and made my way up the metal stairs. I slowly creaked the door at the top of the stairs open to see that the place was even worse than I expected. I knew that I wasn't expecting much, but this place was just a complete mess with only one table still facing upright. I never understood people's need to utterly destroy places when things went bad, but it seems that people focused a lot of their attention on destroying places as opposed to working towards their game plan. This place was so destroyed and apparently burnt up that I didn't even think it was worth risking any more time here and leaving my family alone in the back for a slim chance that I may find one more individually wrapped diner cookie that went stale a year ago. So I made my way towards the back to find the emergency exit. As I passed the front counter, I glanced to see what behind the counter looked like. You know, because it's just one of those things that you don't typically see during your life and you can't help but look. It's like looking to the front seat of a police cruiser. You don't get to see these things very often. I guess it's just one of those old habits I never broke, I don't know. But I'm sure glad I did because that's where I noticed one of those paper maps that folded up 1,000 times to about the size of a notepad, but you can never really fold it the correct way to get it back. I immediately lunged for it when I gave a quick look at that maroon cover. It said in big, bold script, "Welcome to South Dakota." I thought to myself, so we're in South Dakota, I guess. Alright, cool. That's when I figured that out. We drove for so long to get to our little camp by the river with tired eyes that I guess we just never really paid attention to street signs. That would be the last gift this gas station diner would give us before I ran out the emergency exit and scooped up those two tanks of gas that I left there moments ago and headed straight for the van. "Still clear?" I asked Lenny from outside. "Yeah, we don't see anything. But come on, get in. Let's not wait around for a family reunion to come around that corner." I opened up the side van door, swung in the tanks, careful not to get all the grease that covered the once red gas cans onto all of our stuff, and hopped in myself. "Go ahead, slide over. I'll get us back on the road," I said to Lenny. I pulled back on the road and aimed for the same direction that we were heading in. We agreed to hit a few spots this time, and there wasn't any reason that we saw yet to head back. "I got us some gas," I said with a sense of pride, but as though secretly wanting her to praise me or something for finding maybe 7 gallons of gas.
"I saw that. Yeah, that's great, babe. Good job," she said with love.
"Here, grab my bag and open it up. I found us something else as well." She swung it around from behind my seat and unzipped it.
"Oh, nice! Pasta!
Now that is something that I could be excited for," she joked. "Oh, and one more thing. What do you think of South Dakota?" I asked as I accidentally threw my blinker on to change lanes mindlessly.
"South Dakota?"
she asked with a bit of shock from the random question. "I think that I'm not entirely sure that I've ever even met anybody from either Dakota." I was starting to question if they even really existed.
"Well, they do," I said, "because we're living in South Dakota, apparently."
Okay. "Well, I guess I'll have to contact the DMV and get my driver's license updated in that case," she joked once again, which was nice to feel that old Lenny back with me driving in the passenger seat like the old days. With what we chalked up to a successful trip behind us, Lenny opened up the map and started routing us to our next stop as we kept it moving. We continued to drive for about another 10 minutes or so when Lenny told me to take the next left at the now useless traffic light. "I think there should be a town coming up in a mile or so, and it looks pretty big, so maybe we could find a couple neighboring houses to hit and then head back to the river."
"Sounds good to me. What do you think, kid?" I asked him, really just checking in to see how he was doing.
"Can I help pick the next one out this time?" he asked with a sort of tone that silently said, "Since I didn't have a choice last time."
I don't know, Mama. What do you think? I mean, he is the one catching all of these big fish, you know. Think he can handle this too?"
"Well, when you say it like that, I guess you're right."
"All right, fine. He could help," she said playfully.
"Yes! Okay, now you guys need to listen to me. I know which ones are the good ones," Ben said with a 4-year-old's confidence. We entered the neighborhood and went through a few blocks to check for any signs of life, but to no avail, so we circled back around and picked a block close enough to the edge of town. Ben clung onto the window, asking about every other house that we passed, getting so excited as if we were going to buy them ourselves or something. But it was good to see him get excited over things, so we made him believe that he was going to be picking our next location.
"What about this one? The brown one?"
"Yeah, maybe," I would say mindlessly as I kept driving, knowing it was out of sight, out of mind for that kid, and he would latch onto the very next house any second now. After his 5th or 6th, "What about this one?" I liked what I saw from the 3 houses that led to the corner of the block, so I answered him with a,
"Yeah, you know what? I like those ones. Good find, dude."
He jumped up behind the front seat next to his mother, excited to brag to her that he found the best ones to go into. I pulled down the driveway of the first house, and just as I was about to park, Ben asked, "Can I come in with you this time, since I'm the one who found this one? And leave your mom all alone?"
"No, I don't think so, buddy. You guys have to stay together and be lookouts, okay?"
"I already did that last time. I want to come in with you this time," he said as he began to whine.
"No, Ben, you have to stay with your mother and be lookout," I said foolishly, believing that this would be the end of the conversation.
"I don't want to. I want to come in with you. It's not fair." He pouted and started to throw a tantrum.
"Hey," I said aggressively in a hushed tone, "you can't come in. It's too dangerous and I need you and mommy to stay together and be ready for me when I get back, okay? So stop whining and lower your voice."
Lenny looked at me and saw that I was already stressed out enough going into another house, so she turned to Ben and gestured that he come up to the front with her and hang out while they got my backpack, knife, and gun ready.
"All right. I'm gonna head around back and look for a way in. Keep an eye out, and remember, no brake pedal. And if anything goes bad, 2 beeps and get out of here. We'll meet a few blocks up if anything happens. But you better not hesitate to get away this time." To this day, I have no idea why I said that. But I guess I unknowingly had a bad feeling about what was waiting for me. I kissed them both goodbye and made my way around to the backyard. I gave a look in the window and slid it open. I was happy to find it unlocked and climbed right through. I went straight to the kitchen and found exactly what I came for. This place was different than the other places I've been in. It wasn't obvious that it was already rummaged through. It gave me the vibe that maybe the owners packed up as much as they could and left in a hurry. I looked back and saw that there were noticeably missing pictures on the walls, and things that people usually destroyed, such as mirrors or glass cups, were all still intact. But whatever the case was, I was just extremely happy to find a few cans of vegetables, a box of cereal, a can of gravy, and a half a bag of white rice still in the pantry. It was enough food that I couldn't fit it all in my backpack, so I had to look for something else to fit the rest. I ran over to the sink and opened the cabinet to look for any other shopping bags that were left behind. Not only did I find that, but it also gave me the idea to look at the soap pump next to the faucet for any soap. With the virus going on for as long as it did before shit really hit the fan, certain things like soap were hard to come by. I squeezed into the cabinet and looked up, and there it was, almost full to the top with a bright orange dish soap. Careful not to scream with excitement, I unscrewed the slippery reservoir and looked around for anything to plug it up with so I could throw that in the shopping bag as well. I started with the closest cabinet and opened each one only to find that they were mostly empty with the occasional bowl or coffee mug, until I found something even better. I found an unopened jar of peanut butter that was on the second shelf pushed all the way to the back. I was practically jumping out of my own damn skin as it gave a slight leap to reach up and throw it in the bag. I looked for about 30 more seconds before letting the excitement get to me and running out to the van to drop off all my findings and hit the next house. I threw it all on the floor of the van, and Lenny and Ben saw my excitement that was all over my face, and they immediately started laughing. Well, thinking back now, they may have just been laughing at me when they saw how hyped up I was over a jar of peanut butter. Either way, I left them to sort through it all, and I literally ran to the neighboring house. There still wasn't a peep around, so I was as confident as ever that the coast was still clear, and I would just focus on getting half as lucky at the next house. I hopped the chain link fence that separated the 2 yards and made my way carelessly to the back door. It was a big sliding glass door, so after one quick attempt to open it, I knew I definitely did not want to break this glass to get in. It wasn't like that old single pane of glass from the first house. This one would be significantly louder and could easily cause attention or harm. But once again, 2 windows over, the window just slid right open. This one was into a bathroom shower, so the window was a little bit tighter to get through. But I was getting pretty good at this point now. As I made my way through, I felt my foot clip something and it made a loud bang as it met the bottom of the tub. That bang snapped me back into reality immediately as I listened for any sort of reaction in the house. Nothing. It was still quiet. When I looked down to see what I had kicked over, I was once again over the moon. It was a bottle of shampoo, and on the same shelf that it fell from was a bar of soap and even conditioner. All I could think about as I threw it all into my bag was how excited this would make Ben and Lenny when I saw them. I could have lived in that moment forever, under the feeling of pure bliss as I pictured their excitement that was about to come. I made my way out of the bathroom and once again I headed straight for the kitchen. And there was food, even more than the last house. Now, I don't mean it appeared that the family just got back from grocery shopping, but there was definitely enough food that could be easily rationed for at least a month or so between the three of us. And that's not including everything we had from the last house, the gas station diner, and the remainder of our own food. I ripped open my backpack and began shoveling in croutons, cookies, canned soup, noodles, the whole nine into my bag. And when that was full, I frantically looked for something that I could use to bag the rest of the stuff up. I saw a garbage can in the corner and opened it up expecting to be hit with a horrendous stench from whatever was left in there for God knows how long. But to my surprise, there wasn't any stench. I dumped everything out onto the floor and I turned the garbage bag inside out. "This'll work," I said to myself. As I turned back around for the food, I felt a bullet rip right past my face and shatter through the glass cabinet door right behind me. "Whoa!" I screamed as I dropped down on the floor and slid behind the island that was in the center of the kitchen. "Whoa, whoa, don't shoot, don't shoot. I'm sorry, I didn't know anybody was here." "Get the hell out of my house," an old weak voice strained to yell. "Okay, okay, yes, I'm leaving. Look, I'm sorry, I didn't know anybody was still here," I explained as I slowly started to stand up. A second shot rang right past my head and I again dropped down to the floor. Hey, stop! Don't shoot! I said I'm leaving! What the fuck? I yelled.
Ain't nobody coming into my house stealing my things. My wife... My wife was already taken from me this week. So I won't let no scumbag take anything else of mine.
Two more shots hit the face of the island that I was behind as he began to shoot carelessly, accompanied by some of the most deathly coughs I've ever heard. And that's when it hit me. My palms began to pool and sweat, and I felt like I wasn't even in my body any longer. Are you sick? Are you sick? God damn it, are you fucking sick?
I don't know. Maybe.
No. I screamed as I threw my backpack off my shoulder and off to the side of the island I was still crouched behind. Here is your stuff back. I'm sorry for intruding. Like I said, I thought it was empty. Well, I have a wife and a child that I'm trying to feed. I will leave right now, but please stop shooting.
Get the hell out now.
His weak voice pushed through the phlegm. I need to see you lower your gun before I get up and leave. So I'm going to slowly peek my head out the left side here. And if your gun is lowered, I'm going to get up, unlock that door right behind me, and leave without incident. I made sure to lie about what side of the island I would be peeking my head out just in case he was still hell-bent on wasting me. I peeked my head up through the right side and saw that his gun was lowered. So I stood up and back towards the door, careful not to take my eyes off him just in case. When I felt the door behind me, I felt for the lock, turned it, and spun out of the door as quickly as I could, hopping the chain link fence in a single bound and headed straight for the side of the house. Then I realized that there was no chance that they would still be sitting there after hearing those gunshots. As I ran around to the first house, I was surprised and slightly angry to see that they were still there, looking attentive. Is everything all right? Lenny asked. Were those gunshots? Why are you still here? I asked assertively. You were told to leave if anything went down, were you not? I said angrily. I'm fine. I've just never been shot at before, but we're fine. I can't come in. I'm gonna ride on the bumper. Start driving. Ha,